Let me start with the finding from this week that I think deserves the most reflection. Astronomers using the James Webb Space Telescope have confirmed the first atmosphere on a rocky planet in the habitable zone of another star. The planet is LHS 1140b, a super-Earth about 49 light-years away. What they detected specifically is helium escaping from the planet's atmosphere. And the reason that matters is that helium escape serves as a tracer for a more substantial atmospheric envelope. A planet this size with a confirmed atmosphere in the right temperature zone could harbor liquid water on its surface.
49 light years is, in practical terms, an unreachable distance with any technology we have or could plausibly build in the coming century. But the scientific significance doesn't require us to go there. What this finding establishes is that rocky planets in habitable zones can retain atmospheres, which has been a genuinely open question. The early hypothesis was that small rocky planets around red dwarf stars, the most common star type in the galaxy, would be stripped of their atmospheres by stellar radiation. LHS 1140b challenges that.
The NASA solar storm study is equally arresting. Researchers are now saying that solar storms may have no theoretical upper limit in their intensity, meaning that if you extrapolate from the statistical distribution of known storm events, there's no ceiling on how powerful a coronal mass ejection could be. The Carrington event of 1859 is the historical benchmark for a massive solar storm. It disrupted telegraph systems globally. A comparable event today, hitting our satellite networks, power grids, and internet infrastructure, would have effects orders of magnitude more severe. The policy implication is that space weather hardening of critical infrastructure should be treated as a genuine national security priority, not an academic concern.
The Stanford aging research is more speculative but potentially significant. Researchers showed that inhibiting the EP2 receptor on macrophages, specialized immune cells, restored the body's ability to clear senescent cells, which are the so-called zombie cells that accumulate with age and contribute to inflammation, frailty, and cognitive decline. The experiment worked in older mice, reducing measurable markers of aging. The leap from mouse models to human therapies is long and uncertain, but the mechanism, targeting a specific receptor to restore a natural cellular process rather than introducing something artificial, is the kind of clean biological target that tends to translate better across species than more complex interventions.
The quantum computing breakthrough deserves more explanation than it usually gets. Researchers using Quantinuum's 54-qubit processor demonstrated what are called non-abelian anions, exotic quasi-particles that exist only in two-dimensional systems and have a property called topological protection. The significance is that topological quantum computing, which Microsoft has also been pursuing, is theoretically much more resistant to the decoherence errors that plague conventional quantum computers. Braiding and fusing anyons to perform logic operations is a fundamentally different architecture from gate-based quantum computing. Demonstrating a complete universal gate set using this approach on real hardware, not simulation, is a meaningful step toward quantum computers that might be practically reliable.
And the black hole ringing study ties into one of the deepest open questions in physics. Einstein's general theory of relativity predicts very specifically how a black hole should vibrate or ring after a merger, a phenomenon called ring down. If we can measure that ringing precisely enough with gravitational wave detectors like LIGO, we can test whether Einstein's equations hold under the most extreme conditions in the universe. Any deviation from the predicted frequency spectrum would be evidence for physics beyond general relativity. The review published this week maps the theoretical framework for using current and next-generation detectors to run that test at sufficient precision.
The climate data story, a study confirming that U.S. rain now originates from farther away geographically than historical averages, is subtle but has real infrastructure implications. Precipitation that travels longer atmospheric distances before falling tends to arrive in different seasonal patterns and intensities. Water managers design reservoirs, aqueducts, and flood control systems around historical precipitation patterns. If those patterns have shifted systematically, the engineering assumptions baked into decades of infrastructure may be increasingly wrong. and that has practical consequences for drought management, flood risk, and agricultural planning.